It's a blue world, alone.
Welcome to State the Real with my friends and work colleagues, Trent Waters and Peter Betros, with a very, very special guest and good friend of mine, Corey Philpott, owner of CosFit Fitness and Endurance.
Hey.
Strength and Endurance, I think it is.
Sorry?
It's CosFit Strength and Endurance, as per his shirt. We're looking at his shirt right now.
What did I say?
Fitness and
CosFit
Endurance.
Strength and Endurance. Corey, welcome.
We always get
Thanks,
it wrong.
Boys. How you going?
Welcome, Corey.
You did that way better than me, by the way, too.
Yeah, well, I'm here to steal the show, so put your votes in now.
Well, Leon, on that note, let's ask Corey some questions. Corey, thanks for coming on, mate. Just the first thing I want to ask is simply this. Talk to us about your business, your company, and how it started and all that sort of stuff, mate.
Yeah, man. Like, I guess CosFit Strength and Endurance just came off, the name just came off Cos, because Corey, and then...
Cosa.
Just, yeah, and then fitness came off the back of that, but... I was just sitting in the car and made up the name, but I guess my passion for fitness has been around for a pretty long time, and ever since like growing up playing junior reps, rugby league and stuff like that, obviously times have changed since the journey I've been on. Leon probably knows how much I've changed over the past probably 4 years or so, I think it's been now.
Yep.
And yeah, man, it's been a crazy experience, crazy ride. And
awesome. But it's not just your ordinary fitness. Like, there's a lot of personal trainers out there, there's a lot of gyms, all that sort of stuff, but you're actually an ultra marathon slash like
a weight trainer.
It's mainly ultra marathons, I believe.
Yeah, but
know your mate or?
Yeah. No, honestly, that's his thing. So he runs marathons, but he still trains and lifts weights in the gym, which a marathon runner generally wouldn't mix the two.
But he's an ultra marathon runner. Correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, you can answer this for us. What is your...
Yeah, you tell us. You tell
yeah.
us.
Yeah, so I guess to... give Leon a bit of perspective. An ultra marathon runner is different to a marathon runner.
Yeah.
A marathon runner stops at 42Ks, but an ultra marathon runner can run up to 360, 500 miles, I guess, sometimes.
So when I do the river run, it's not a marathon.
No, that's not a marathon. It probably feels like one.
When have you done the river run?
I tried it a couple of weeks ago.
All right, so yeah, there's a massive difference. So you train people and Corey, essentially, you've had a huge transformation in your life, let alone fitness journey. You're obviously a bit of a party guy. You've turned into a fitness freak, and now you really enjoy challenging yourself mentally and physically. And mate, yeah, I know you. Obviously, Leon knows you much better, but I've seen the transformation, mate, and it's very, very impressive. And I'm sure that everyone that is following you on you've got a podcast, you've got your Facebook page, Instagram page, and there's something that I want to talk to you about quickly, and it's to do with Glenbrook 2773. It's a run that you do. Mate, can you just give us a bit of information about that? It's every Saturday morning, I think, pre-COVID-19, but let us know.
Yeah, so pre-COVID-19, we had this thing called the 440 Run Club, and the 440 Run Club actually originated in Bronte, and at that 440, they get 250 people come every single Saturday, and the 440 Run Club, it's based around community and inclusiveness.
Yep.
Basically, any fitness level, any shape or size, you want to come down, walk, jog, hop, skip, everyone's welcome. And it's all about inclusiveness, being at one with yourself, one foot after the other.
Yep.
And so basically what we do, we start in the dark and we move towards the light. So we start at 5:30 in the morning, pitch black, freezing cold, then we move towards the light, okay? And it's a loop. So a 700-meter loop. We start at Cafe 2773. And that, instead of going out on your standard, you see like your park runs and stuff like that, it's just a 5K run. And you do turn around at some of your park runs. But this is basically... the faster people are going around, your slower people continuously, and they're giving encouragement every single time. The 440 is like a bit of a family, and
yep.
I guess some people may call it like a cult and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's funny you say that because
seems like, can I cut you off there? It seems like a cult. You're making people run at 5:30 in the morning.
No, we don't force people to run. They will
run or die.
Why is it 4:40, Corey? Why is it called 4:40?
Yeah, the 4:40. So back
I thought
in Bronte,
it was 4:40 a.m.
Back in Bronte, it originated. They used to run a 400-meter loop. Okay, a 400-meter efforts up and down a hill. And as the 4:40 grew, They said, "Oh shit, we can't go up and down this hill. We need to make it a loop." So that's where the 700 meter loop came in.
Yeah.
And their average pace was 4 minutes 40.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
There we go. There's the 4:40 run club.
Beautiful. Nice.
Okay. And it's expanded all over Australia.
And so you've got obviously your fitness. You got a lot of clients, and how many people do you roughly turn up?
At the 4:40 we can average anywhere between 50 and 25. It fluctuates depending on the week and stuff like that. As I said, like, it's just you come down whenever you feel. There's no obligations to do anything. You can just come and have coffee after if you want. You don't even need to run. You don't even need to walk. You can just do whatever you want. But I guess on the PT side of things, we're quite low at the moment.
Yeah,
I do more run coaching than PT. Not really PT. Run coaching is more my specific, what I try and get into.
Just making sure everyone's doing the right sort of style.
Yeah. So I do a lot of programming and stuff like that. I've had 4 or 5 people on program, which is a lot for me for what I do. Yeah. Because I obviously work full time, got a family, stuff like that. And I got big things that I train for myself. But,
on that note, I just want to know personally. So look, you're young, Corey. I think you're 22.
Yep.
22. Right. So you're 22. So I'm assuming you don't have a home yet. Like, you don't own a home yet, based off your experience.
That's
your
slack as.
No. Well, hang on. I know Corey's a party boy, and he was going to Tomorrowland and all that sort of stuff. I don't think he was saving too much money then. But the point I'm trying to make is, so you don't own a property yet, but where do you want to enter the market at, and or what's your dream location within the greater Penrith area?
Yeah, look, I guess we'll start by saying, like, yeah, back in the day, like, I spent money like it was nothing, like it was endless. Like, my bank account was just had infinite dollars in there, and I could just do whatever. But now that I've grown and matured and stuff like that, I guess you see money's true value. And
it's not much.
It isn't much. I'm 22 and I have a child and a family I need to look after and stuff like
beautiful.
That. And having a child and a family, that obviously has thrown a massive spanner in the works for getting a house and stuff like that, because there's certain expenses that come with that. But definitely down the track, I think me and my partner, we're looking at a 3-year window, because obviously, you know, breaking into the market now, I don't know much about it, but you need to have more than what you need to spend.
Where do you want to live?
Oh, the mountains for sure.
Yeah. Mountains
for sure.
And your dad just built a place in Glenbrook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The plans, I've seen, you showed me those a long time ago, and they look pretty impressive. So it's done now.
Yeah, it's fully done. I think, it was done in around February. We touched on it then, and we're fully moved in. And
Glenbrook's a hot market. Like, it is, like, shacks are selling for $1 million there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They bought for 600 and something thousand and knockdown rebuild.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Lovely. And that's on Barnett Street around there, isn't it?
Yeah, Barnett, just across the road from that.
Awesome, mate. Awesome.
Are you going to have any questions for me, mate?
You kind of mentioned before that you kind of went through this pretty big transformation in terms of where you were at one stage to where you're at today. So I guess give me a little bit of information in terms of what made you turn into, because of the party animal, to, I guess, the running machine that you are today.
I think, like, one part of the journey was I felt like I had nowhere to go and I was stuck. I was going into each day just feeling like I couldn't feel anything, and, you know, I was bored and stuff like that. And yeah, I was on my way to becoming a qualified carpenter, which I am now. And, you know, I still work in the carpentry industry, and my passion is in fitness. Anyone out there, follow your passion, you know, like, you can't sit there fart-assing around, because you get to the stage in your life where obviously you go and you buy houses and stuff like that, and you're stuck in that job. What I'm trying to do now, I'm back studying again and want to get my foot in the ground or in the fitness industry and take COSFIT on full time before I actually get a mortgage, stuff like that, because I want to take that risk. I know that there is the opportunity for me, I guess, to always go back and be a carpenter, because qualified carpenters can get work anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of not having work, but I'm scared of being stuck in that position once you get a mortgage that you actually have. I actually will actually have real bills to pay once you get that.
Yeah, well, look.
That's a scary thought.
I just wanted to ask him one thing.
Yeah, whether you can afford it or not.
I went to a couple of shops the other day. This is legit. Well, I actually need new joggers. So,
yeah.
Like, obviously, you're running.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what do you recommend?
Look, I reckon spend the money. Don't go to your Rebel Sport and your Foot Locker and stuff like that.
Sounds like us selling houses. Just spend the money. You want the location. Pay for it. Do you want to live here or do you want to live in this street?
Oh, that's sales, isn't it? That's sales. But, yeah, no, Blue Mounts Runnico, you know Shane and Blinder. They'll go and hook you up and say you're friends with me and
what are they called? Hocks, Hocks are they?
Oh, Hockers. Yeah, Hockers are the best. They're the best in the world.
So why though?
Super comfy shoe.
Well, is there a technology behind it? Like what?
Yeah, so actually the Hocker Carbon X's that I run in, I guess, yeah, they have a carbon fiber plate in the base of them. And they got, I forget the millimeters of drop that they have in it, but super comfy, super cushiony, and it gives you extra propulsion when you push off the floor, I guess. And you're only really buying that kind of shoe if you're trying to hit faster times, not really if you want to get fitter.
Yeah, right.
Guess you could get the Hoka Cliftons if you're looking to just get into your running and get your running form
straight. Okay, so I'm assuming here, if you want to get into your running and a few trail runs instead of your standard river loop, going on the trails, a few fire trails and that sort of stuff, I'm assuming what you're saying here, get down to 2773 on the left-hand side, which is Glenbrook.
Get down to Blue Mountains Running Co. And
Blue Mountains, sorry.
I mean, if you're gonna go out on the trails and you've never been out there before, definitely do your research. You don't want to go out there getting lost and not having water and shit like that. Like I've seen it happen to too many people, and it's not good.
Oh look, I ride a bike. Like I got a mountain bike now, and I'm sick to death, Corey. And I'm sure you're one of the blokes. I'm riding a bike and I ride past you, and they spray me because I'm on a bike. Are you one of those bikes?
Do you bike shame? Are you a bike shamer?
There is a couple of them. I'm telling you now.
Get off your ass.
Two things. One lady said when I flew past her, "Where's your bell?" Well, I don't. Well, do you want streamers with my bike as well? And the second one said something along the lines of "Your blood jug, get off the bike." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." Well, have you seen the size of me?
No, I haven't. I'm not that kind of person. I mean, I promote anyone that's doing any kind of fitness. Mate, if you're getting off your couch and you're going for a walk, then
beautiful.
I don't give a crap. But yeah, maybe you should just yell out on your right or something. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I did, but then I realised I was too tired.
Passing by.
I couldn't say it when I'm trying to breathe. 100%. 100%. Very good. Very good. All right. Well. Thanks, Corey, mate. We're just going to lead into one more thing now. Or one more. Actually, there's a heap more things to go on. But we're going to lead into this weekend for myself, Trent, and Leon. We had the first week back, COVID-19. Open homes were back. So across the board, we had 220 attendees on the weekend, which was fantastic. How did you boys find it?
Really good. Honestly, I did 10 open homes myself. Numbers did average. I had one open home that had 10 buyers through. But the most important thing is buyer confidence is back and buyers are in fear that the market might do this quick bounce back and it seems like they want to get in to the property market before it's, again, too late. Yep. So in my opinion, I had a really good weekend and I had a few offers thrown around and pretty close to sealing a few deals.
Yeah, it was good, eh? It was good to see a lot of people out and about. I had five opens and there was a fair few people turning up. You know, we needed the hand sanny and obviously the social distancing precautions, but everyone did their thing and it went well. And yeah, there's a few deals that are happening and has happened over the weekend, which is good. So, yeah, 220 attendees throughout the office was very good.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, absolutely.
How'd you go?
But yeah, look, I think overall I had maybe 30 or 40 myself. So met a lot of new people. It was good. It's good for our sellers. It's even good for the buyers because there was some buyers out there that didn't know how, or lack that confidence to pick up the phone and call us, seriously. So that is, there's a time there, a time set, half an hour window, come along casually, have a look. If you're getting a feel for the market, a lot of buyers out there just want to get a feel for the market. They want to know what they can get there for their dollar. And it's so nice for them just to be able to see and have a feel through. Because I did a few inspections where, and I'm not saying necessarily that the buyers were lying, but you qualified them pretty well and you get there and they say, oh, we're just starting to look. And it's like, oh, because during that time it was pretty tough to, you know, you're trying to tell your owners you've got a good buyer coming, they've got to clean the house, hand sanitizers, one person in the property at a time. And then they turn up and they say, oh, we're just starting to look we're trying to still get our pre-approval done. So I found that a bit hard and having open homes back has really eliminated all that stuff and I'm really pumped and excited for this Saturday. I know us three have a lot of open homes on Saturday.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I was asking the question a lot, I guess, on why they're kind of back in the market. I found a lot of people, and I think it's the way the media announced it, or the government anyways, announced that open homes were cancelled. They didn't really mention that you could still do a private inspection. So when I was speaking to a few buyers and told them, no, private inspections are still a thing, a few of them that actually didn't know.
Yeah.
So they kind of just thought real estate was shut down. So I think that put a big, I guess, impact as well. Obviously it did, so.
Yeah, it'd have to be. From my experience, 40% of the people that turn up to open homes, 40% of people who are buying and selling I reckon it's based purely off them listening and following the media. Yeah. It's huge.
What time did you get your signs out by on Saturday?
Well, as you both know, my signs are getting re-stickered.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, so I didn't have to put any out this weekend, which was fantastic. How about you boys?
Mine were all out by 7:30.
Excellent.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, mine were out nice and early. I love putting my flags up. So you might see them around town, the Leonidas Proestos flag. I got 3 floating around, and I'm ordering another 4. So if you didn't like the 3, get used to about 7.
Yeah, all 3 of them are at the front of unit complexes. So
suburb in the spotlight this week. Every week we're going to talk about a suburb in the Nepean Valley area that we are going to obviously highlight and talk about. Real estate-wise, this week, to start off with, we're starting with Cranbrook, where myself and Peter Betros grew up, and my little brother. Yeah, great suburb to live in. See, prices are very good. It's a very good value, the suburb itself. You've got five schools in the local area, great schools. Shopping centre with Aldi and Woolies. It's a really new shopping centre, actually. It's only a couple of years old. You got a cafe and a takeaway store. Yeah, very, very good. Very good. It's a very good area. You've got plenty of parks, yep, and fields, and it's a very family orientated area. Yep. And yeah, it's a perfect area to grow a family. So
perfect.
Sales this year have been good. It's been a very popular suburb. So
awesome.
Yeah, obviously Pete and Leon sell a few there here and there as well.
Nothing, let's be honest. Trent is the absolute machine of Cranbrook.
Nah, you grew up there, mate.
If they had to change the name, it could possibly be Trent Waters.
Trentbrook.
I'm pretty sure it is already Trent Waters. But and just hold your horses there, mate. I've got a few vendors that want to sell with me in Cranbrook, and you're saying this. Hold your horses. But Trent's right. Having grown up in Cranbrook, my mum's still a teacher there now at Corpus Christi Cranbrook, actually, one of those 5 schools.
Definitely.
But Trent, the interesting fact in the last few months, in March, about Cranbrook was that it actually had an average days on market that were less than Penrith and less than Jamison Town. Now, we obviously, we believe Jamison Town and South Penrith are pretty hot suburbs.
I'm just reading this for the first time, not going to lie.
Yeah, that's okay, mate. Shocked, no surprise there, you being underprepared. And basically, yeah, so I'm very impressed that Cranbrook has performed better in terms of days on market than Penrith and Jamison Town. And the other interesting fact for me.
Well, the median house price there is $635 too, which is good compared to, I guess, other areas like Penrith. And
yeah. The next part that I was going to say that's very impressive for the suburb of Cranbrook is the outgoing and incoming people moving from Cranbrook and people moving to Cranbrook. It's a lot of it is the higher percentages here are Cranbrook to Cranbrook. So 3-bedders are selling to get a 4-bedder and they stay in Cranbrook.
It always has been. Yep. Like I've been dominantly doing that area for 12 years, and it always has been the majority of the people that are selling in Cranbrook are upsizing or downsizing to stay in the same suburb because they do like it so much.
So that's what I was going to say.
Five minutes from Penrith, and it's quiet and popular, yeah.
That's a good, very healthy sign of a suburb. Low days on market, people moving within the suburb, upsizing within the suburb is a great sign. So Cranbrook, very good growth
as well. Like I'm looking here, so the outgoing is 14.6%, so 14.6% are moving out, and 20% are moving in. So Cranbrook seems like the place to be at the moment.
It's a good place for an investment.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now, you got anything for me, Trent, or what?
I do. I'll have a couple in the back pocket.
Can you give me like an off-market deal, or do we do that or not?
No, I want the best for my vendors, mate.
Yeah, I see. Won't even help a mate out.
That's actually a very funny point because you have a lot of people who say, oh, man, like your friends will ring you. You've got a listing, right? And they'll say, oh, can you do us a deal? No, I can't because, A, I want to get my owner the best possible price. B, I want to get my owner the best possible price. That's it.
The owner's paying me commission and you ain't. Listing of the week.
Yes.
So this is obviously where we talk about one of our own listings that we think deserve the spotlight this week. So
for sure.
On the market, coming on the market, off market, whatever you got.
Coming on the market?
Yeah, what do you got?
Oh, I'll talk about my one I've got on the market at the moment in Werrington. It's only 12 months old. It's a townhouse. It's 4 bedrooms. It's, yeah, like I said, near 12 months old. Really good area. Close to the station. And that's $499 to $539. Really good investment. You obviously can claim depreciation for the next 6 years. But yeah, 4 beds, 2 baths. It's pretty good value.
Peter B?
My listing of the week is 19 Maluna Road there in South Penrith. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath. The owners have been there since the start, over 40 years old. 2 big living spaces, 650 square metre block, great part of South Penrith. Yeah, I think it's going to be very popular this weekend. And you blokes know I do a fair bit of real estate in South Penrith and Jamison Town, and I believe that it is going to sell pretty quickly.
It's going to be a relaunch. So it's for Warragamba Crescent in Jamison Town. It was an empty property, so it just needed... The buyers need to see what you can do with it. And we got Wendy from Vogue Property Styling. That sent us the toilet roll for Betros. Might need one myself. No, I'm actually fine. I don't need to do that. But she has done an incredible job in terms of making this place a very special place and making it feel homey. So this would be a great case study to see what styling can actually do for a vendor.
Yeah, very true, mate. Very true. Styling I'll keep you updated. Helps, doesn't it?
I'll keep you updated. I'll let you know what
styling does help, mate. Look, and Leon, thank you again. You've endorsed my client, I suppose, in Wendy. You've sold one of my listings this week, and you don't play on the maps with me in Call of Duty. And yeah, so mate, you honestly, out of a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of friends, you are a 1. But you know, mate, it's good to have you on the podcast, I suppose.
Can you lend me your bike this week as well, or what?
Yeah. Anyway,
he's
guys,
gonna start running.
Well, actually, you're right, Corey. Start running. So, Corey, actually, that's a good question. Will those shoes support 115 kilos of butter running down a hill?
Of course.
Nah. Boys, next part is a very fun part. We love this part, and it's our song of the week. So let's have a little think here. Corey, I'm going to start with Corey. Corey, I need you to find out for me. You don't find out. You tell us what your best and favorite song has been of the last week or so.
Yeah, my favorite song of the week, Chicago Freestyle by Drake.
Wow. So we're going to play this in the background. So I don't know if you've heard our podcast or if you listen, but this legend back here will insert the song. So we're listening it to right now.
By Drake.
That's good. Listen, boys. That was me. What about you, Leon? Your song of the week?
6 Feet or 6 Feet Apart by Luke Combs. So it's basically a song.
Good song, man. Great song.
Yeah, you haven't even listened to it.
No.
You say this about all my songs, and then you come up to me and you go, Leon, that's actually a pretty good song. I've been jamming to it all week, so don't. Yeah. Anyways, it's about what's going on in the world in terms of coronavirus, 6 feet apart. It goes like, I miss my mama, I miss my dad, you know, things like that. So. Yeah, we're going to be listening to it, so you'll hear it.
Yeah, excellent, man.
Very good. Miss
and Betros, what's your song?
All right, so my song of the week is, it's actually a remix, and it's a bit of an oldie. Like, there was actually, and a few people out there will know this, there was actually an Instagram story of me when I had a few too many champagnes and stuff. It was actually the night before you flew out to Canada.
I remember that, when you got the free Indian food from the...
Can I say it? Or?
Do you remember it?
Uber home, had a few too many drinks. I said to the Uber, hey, man, do us a favor. Can you turn right and go to McDonald's? I can't turn right. He goes, I've got to go there. I've got to get another job. I said, oh, man, I'm absolutely starving. So he goes, go in the glove box. I said, sorry? He goes, I got some food. You can have my food. I said, nah, mate, seriously? He said, yes, open it. I opened up the glove box, and to this day, no one believes me except the video that I don't even know if I saved. I reckon people have saved on Instagram, because you can.
Was it Insta? I think it was Snapchat.
No, it was Instagram. Yeah, it was Instagram. And I popped open the glove box, and there's a beautiful curry. Next to the curry is two indoor cricket gloves. I've gone, India cricket.
Yeah, cricket gloves.
No one's going to believe it. No one's going to believe it. Pulled the gloves out, got the curry out. I open it up, gives me a plastic fork from him. What's the side one called?
Side console.
Gives me a plastic fork. I'm looking at him. I said, mate, what is this? It's a chickpea curry. I said, he goes, is it hot? He goes, mild. I'm like, that's hot. I know. I've gone to an Indian restaurant before, and they say, you want mild or medium? And I say medium, and I can't speak for a month. Got it outside anyway. He goes, do you want some? And I swear again, he got some. He wants some naan bread, he said. Are you kidding? He goes, go under the seat. I pulled out and he's got a packet of naan bread. It sounds horrible, actually, but it was very, very funny. So,
did you give him 5 stars?
Yeah, absolutely. I got my tip as well. So.
So what's the song of the week?
This song. back to that story. So PDB sweating up, eating a curry on Instagram, and what happened? Is this song was playing in the background. The song is called Fill Me In, and it's not by Craig David, let me assure you. It's by Loud Luxury. It's called Fill Me In. Jump on your Spotify. Jump on your YouTube Red, because that's what I got. and press play. It's good. So that's my song of the week. Trenno.
My song of the week. It brings back memories of my, yeah, festival days, internet friends, knife party. Every time, yeah, put on shuffle, Spotify. Internet friends, bang up. It is a cracker song. It gets you going. It gets me running, actually.
Does it?
Yeah.
When was last time?
The Glenbrook Stairs.
When was last time you did that?
Last week.
Did you really?
Nah. I think I've done it once.
Have you ever done knapsack stairs?
I have. Oh, once. Nice. Yeah, nice. Once. It was crap.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard, but it's good for it. Excellent. Now, what's the next part, Trenno? What are we off to?
So, time for 2E's new trivia.
Yay.
I feel like a 2E's or 2E.
Okay, right, let's get our new bottle caps. I've got the first one. All right, I'll ask Peter Betros.
Thank you.
Who has won the NBL's most valuable player for a record 7 times?
Now, hang on. This is a trick question because it's the NBL, not the NBA. Now, the NBA is in America. The NBL is in Australia.
Oh, my God. We've got Sherlock Holmes here.
Thank you. Yep. And the winner is...
Sydney.
Not Andrew Bogart because he went over to... I'm not a huge basketball fan. He walked the flag at the Olympics.
He did.
Andrew Gaze.
Yes.
Woo!
Cracker. Well done,
that was good.
That was good.
You're beautiful. All right.
Very good.
Now, for you, Corey. Which former Prime Minister founded the Liberal Party of Australia?
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if anyone would know this. Eddie. You four would not know this.
Three.
Cody doesn't exist. Yeah, of course I know. I just read the answer.
I don't know, Bob
Hawke. Bob Hawke is actually, he was the Prime Minister, President I was going to say. He was the Prime Minister of Australia, but that was the Prime Minister. It was the same question. It's Steve Menzies. I'm gonna get it right for you, Corey.
Did you say Steve Menzies?
Robert Menzies. Corey, you're going to look goody. Corey, you're going to look goody. Don't say Steve, it's Robert Menzies. Ready? Okay. All right, my turn. I'll ask you a question here, Corey. So, Corey, which Prime Minister founded the Liberal Party of Australia?
Oh, easy one, mate. Robert Menzies.
What? Are you kidding?
Yeah, easy. As if you don't know politics, it's showing politics.
Yeah. Did you know? He knows he's running and he's politics.
Did you know the truth?
Hey?
Did you genuinely know?
I thought it was Steve Menzies, actually.
It's a footballer. That's Cam Fakeo's favourite. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I didn't know that. So, Corey, do you want to ask Leon a question?
Our guests are getting, hey, I got a bad... Last time we had a guest on, they answered the question. Okay, now, right. Again... Are we just dumb or...
In Australian politics, I'm hopeless. I couldn't tell you that. That was incredible how quickly you answered that. Well done, mate.
Easy.
It must be like just the endorphins when you run, the fresh air in Glenbrook.
And it's all those podcasts I listen to. My grandfather, he was a politician and all that stuff.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh. Right, you're nailing me. Anyway, Corey, ask Leon. Ask your mate. I didn't even know you lived in Glenbrook.
Leon, who holds the record for the most centuries... in a test cricket for Australia?
Got it. You can do it.
Just give me a hint. Give me a hint.
I'll give you...
He's Australian.
Is it? The initials are RP.
Oh.
Robert?
No. Yeah. Ricky?
Ricky Federer.
RP?
Federer! He's a tennis player.
And
he's Roger Federer.
It's all PH.
Ricky Ponting.
Ricky Ponting.
Have you heard of Ricky Ponting before?
Mate, I don't watch this sport. I never have.
Yeah.
Will I? Maybe.
You only know Wayne Gretzky, don't you?
There's more to hockey than just Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, well, there's not much more to cricket than Ricky Ponting. So all right, Leon, you want to ask a trainer question if you can read the lid?
I'm a very good reader. When's the last book you read?
Oh, yeah, true.
Who was the first non-Australian to coach the Wallabies?
Oh, that's tough as well, that's, man.
The hell?
Yeah, Twoies, come on.
Twoies or two. Who
watches Union?
I'll tell you what, whoever drinks Twoies. Not us.
Mate, I would have no idea.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah, give him initials or something.
Yeah.
RD.
RD. RD. Robert Downey Jr.
Iron Man?
You kind of got the first one, right?
Robert.
Kind of.
Robert Downey.
What do you mean kind of got Robert right? Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie.
Robbie.
Robbie. Ooh. Robbie Wright.
Robbie Deans.
Yes.
Yeah! I feel like it. Very good.
Well, please.
I feel like a tourist.
I feel like a Teresa Brew.
So obviously we're going to talk about business of the week.
Yeah, so it's Josh Moorhead, Jay Moore for short, Compass Financial. He's a mortgage broker.
Mortgage?
He's a great bloke. Yeah, obviously we actually refer him a few of our clients, myself, Leon, and obviously Greg that works here too. That's his brother-in-law. Yeah, Jay Moore, if you're looking to get a home loan, refinance, he's the hardest working broker out there at the moment. He literally just rang me 2 minutes before we got on this potty and still working. So
yeah, he doesn't sleep. To be honest, he did my finance for my property.
Yeah.
And it was a very smooth transaction. And he had to help me get through over some obstacles, which I didn't even have to worry about, which was great. And he got me an incredible good rate. I know it sounds like an ad, but it's the absolute truth.
Yeah, 100%.
Well done, Joshy. Moorhead. Yeah. Good on you, mate.
Alrighty, so now we're going to be finishing up the show. I just want to ask Corey one more thing because we did forget to bring it up. He is doing something pretty important at the moment, and it is the world's strongest marathon. Did I get that right?
Yeah. So I'm in training for the world's strongest marathon. And,
nice.
I guess it sounds pretty crazy, but it's I'll be pulling a car for more than a 1.4 ton car for 42 kilometers.
42 k's. Wait, hold on. Where are you going to do that on a runway?
Nah, he's going to pull it up knapsack stairs.
Well, where is he going to do it? 42 k's.
I'm assuming on a road.
Oh, and what road's going to let a bloke run and pull a car?
Okay, so when they do the marathons and the Olympics, they let the cars run. They just stop the road, man.
Where is it?
So obviously, a venue's a bit up in the air at the moment. And
See, they don't even know.
The venue's in the air.
Pull a plane. Pull.
He's going up and down the aisle of a plane.
Yeah,
the airlines
are struggling at the moment. They need some help to get him up in the air.
It's all up in the air because of COVID and stuff like that. Everyone doesn't know what they're doing and all the uncertainty that's going on. But definitely going to find a location and get it done. But it's still over a year away. But we're doing it to raise awareness for child abuse, which is I guess underlying issue that goes around in Australia. No one really talks about it that much. So I thought I'd. You know, it's something that's pretty important, Gary said. So,
mate, that is actually a very, very.
I guess it's a good way to raise awareness. People are going to they're not going to open their eyes up to child abuse. They're going to open eyes up to this guy pulling a car.
Some madman pulling a car across the runway.
So that's a good point. So Corey, essentially, when you're doing this, what's it for, mate? Is it for money or is it for a charity? What's it?
Yeah, so it's actually linked up with Child Safe Australia, and so what they do is they actually give parents and children, they go into schools, sporting clubs, businesses and stuff like that, and they give parents and children the educational tools they need to stay aware, be aware of what child abuse is, I guess, and when they see it, how to deal with it, and the right places to go and talk to people about it and stuff like that. So it's very simple tools.
So you're doing this to help raise some awareness and get some funds. You can do it whatever you want. You can maneuver it any way you want. You just got to get 42 k's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'll be pulling it. Yeah. So I need to try and beat this guy's record to get the world record. I'll try and get Guinness on board and stuff like that.
Mate, unreal. Cool. We'll keep following you on your journey, mate. That sounds absolutely
awesome. Yeah. I thought that would take probably 6.5 days.
Six and a half days? Yeah. I wouldn't be able to pull it a centimeter.
That's a good cause, mate.
That's very awesome.
Very it's great what you're doing. Thanks for coming on. Haven't seen you in a while. Obviously, after this, we'll definitely need to catch up. It's been a while. Hope you and the family are doing well. But again, thank you for coming on. And so it's Corey Philpott from COSFIT. Betros is waving at me.
Yeah, it's COSFIT Strength and Endurance. But I just wanted to say I've got a joke too. Ready? All right, so this is the joke.
End in a joke.
Okay.
Beautiful.
A bloke goes to the bar. Ready? So a bloke goes to the bar, yeah?
Yeah.
Lucky bastard.
That's a dad joke.
I thought that was hilarious. I seen that on Facebook and it was from a dad to a dad and I was like, oh my goodness, I need to share that. But anyway, thanks again, Corey.
All right, thanks, boys. All right, see you later.